From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and soundbites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Christmas Eve edition of Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council and President of FRC Action. It is an honor indeed, as always, to be filling in for Tony, and so glad to have you with us on this Christmas Eve as well. We've got a lot coming your way on the program today. Of course, as Christmas around the world, people are preparing to celebrate what happened in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago in the Holy Land. And yet the Holy Land today remains a center of political turmoil, both domestically and internationally. Israel has been at war now for more than 14 months. And as we now fix our eyes on Emmanuel, God with us, our hearts are also with those in the Middle East, where the situation has been changing so much for the people in that region. So on this special edition, I'll have a couple of guests joining me from Jerusalem. Chris Mitchell, Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News, will join me to talk about how this Advent season and the last have been different for the people in Israel and the Middle East as a whole. And how can we here be praying for our brothers and sisters in the Middle East? And then I'll be sharing with you a discussion I had with FRC President and, of course, the main host of Washington Watch, Tony Perkins, who joined me from Israel last week. So what was he hearing while on the ground there? And how should our leaders here in the United States be standing with our closest ally in the Middle East? All that will be coming up shortly. And then to close out the program, I'll be joined by Dr. Jay Johnston, National Prayer Director and the chaplain here at the Family Research Council. And we'll be talking about how the Christmas season uniquely provides opportunities for discipleship and for connecting people to the truth. How can Christ followers right now make the most of this time? And how should that be carried out throughout the year? So we've got a great program lined up for you. And if by chance you miss any portion of it again, always keep in mind that you can catch it by going to our website, TonyPerkins.com, where, of course, not only this edition of Washington Watch, but past editions also are available, as well as tons of resources. So be sure to bookmark that webpage. And then let me just say this as well before we jump into it. Family Research Council invites you to join us as our commitment is to continue shining the light of biblical truth in Washington, D.C. and beyond. And during these dangerous days in which we're living, FRC literally is serving as a type of watchman on the wall. We're here protecting faith and family and freedom from all sorts of attacks coming from every direction. And thanks to a $1.5 million challenge match right now, every dollar you give to FRC between now and December 31st, every dollar will be doubled. Folks, let that sink in. This enables you to double your impact. So we're asking you to come alongside FRC, stand with us, enabling us to continue being a prophetic voice for biblical truth. You can join us by texting the word LIGHT, L-I-G-H-T, to 67742. So together, let's make an eternal impact. Let's continue being the light that God intends us to be. All right, as I mentioned earlier, FRC President and the main host of Washington Watch, Tony Perkins, was in Israel last week. And while there, he joined me to talk about his latest trip and what he heard there on the ground. Here's that interview.
Tony, thanks so much for joining us today, and Merry Christmas from Israel.
Well, thank you, Jody. Merry Christmas, and thanks for filling in for me. I'm actually, for those watching, I am standing just outside of the walls of Jerusalem. In fact, you can see the city of Jerusalem behind me, and to my left, you can't see it, but over in the distance is the little town of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born a little over 2,000 years ago.
That's amazing. Well, Tony, I know you've got a lot of meetings, a lot of things that have been taking place for you there in Israel, but while you're on the ground, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? What's the mood like there?
Well, Jody, there's a real sense of optimism on a couple of things. One is I met with various leaders in the Israeli government and then some of the military leaders. I met with the president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, some of in the foreign policy, foreign ministry. And there's optimism, and it's even on the streets. Number one, because of the elections in the United States and the Trump administration coming into power, is that given what they did last time in supporting with Israel, there's a great optimism, especially with the backdrop of the Biden administration, that they're going to have a friend once again in the White House. And then secondly, Jody, the tables have turned since I was here in March of this year. Where Israel kind of had they were up against the ropes, so to speak. Now we see this ring that Iran had of proxies around them, Hezbollah, Hamas, and even the Houthis in Yemen have been pounded by Israel. And then, of course, Iran, they're now kind of teetering. It's changed tremendously, and so there's a sense of optimism there, as well as by the time people hear this, as we're pre-recording it, the hostages may have been released, at least some of them. That deal is very close to happening.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask specifically, the ceasefire and the hostage release. I know Trump, as you mentioned him and the attitude that he is bringing to the table there, he's been very strong, saying that there's going to be tremendous consequences if the hostages are not released before he's inaugurated. So I'm assuming that really has brought a sense of optimism to Israel, but also a little fear and trembling to the terrorists.
Right. I've thought about that. What I have made that statement, because he's drawn a very bright line, which means he has to follow through on that. What does that look like? I'm not sure anybody really knows, and I think that's the fear and trembling that it creates that fear and trembling, because nobody really knows what that means. But they know that he is not traditional in the way he deals with these issues, and generally what he says, he does. And so there has been a lot of movement during this week. We've been in Israel, and the officials that we've talked to, they've been very tight-lipped about the hostage situation, not wanting to say anything, go on the record about anything. And so that suggests to me that they're very close to reaching some type of a deal that would bring this chapter to a close, bringing some of, if not all, the hostages home immediately or over a staged process.
Well, it's been 14 months, and I'm sure it's just been unimaginable for Israel and the people living there, which, of course, Israel's been a safe harbor for the Jewish community for a long time, and for many others, for that matter. How has that changed? Have you seen, I know it's been 14 months, it has changed drastically, but how is it right now?
It's interesting, Jody, because, and this is one of the things that I've noticed, having, as I said, been here in March, is that the nation hasn't forgotten. They haven't moved on. It's not like, okay, well, that was last year. That was 14 months ago. The nation has drawn closer together. There is laser focus on these hostages. You cannot go anywhere and not see posters or billboards or signs saying, bring them home. And they keep a list. They have pictures of all the hostages that remain. I was at Hostage Square during my time here in Tel Aviv. I met with some of the hostage families. And so there's a focus that continues to be on these families, and encouraging them, standing with them, and saying, we are going to bring these hostages home.
I can only imagine what kind of national celebration that is going to spark when those hostages are finally released. It's It's got to be, it may end up being a national holiday of sorts. I can't imagine the joy that is going to be exhibited when that happens.
When you consider since 1948, when Israel became a state, you know, they've had wars, six-day wars. They've had short periods. They've never had this long of a conflict with this many different nations that they've been focused on, where literally, you know, the world was betting against Israel, pushing against Israel, and Israel has completely turned the tables to where now other nations are trembling and fearful of what Israel may do. And I do think you're right. I think when those Israelis and others, there's others than just Israelis, others being held hostage, when they come home, I think you're going to see a grand celebration.
Well, as we enter into this last few days before Christmas, and by the time this airs, following, what is the biggest prayer need as you are out and about with people there and with the leaders in Israel? How can we be most targeted and specific in praying for Israel right now?
You know, Jody, first, I think we need to understand the importance of Israel and what took place here and what it means to us as Christians. As I said at the beginning, just a stone's throw from where I'm at, Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. The fact that this is a place where so much of what we, almost everything we read in the Bible is found here in Judea and Samaria. And we need to be praying for the peace of this land, as Psalm 122 encourages us to do or tells us to do. We need to be praying for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't know of another individual in the entire world that has as much weight upon his shoulder and decisions that are such consequential decisions that affect literally the entire world, Western civilization. And praying for their peace, praying for the fulfillment of God's word, and for continued revelation of God's power on their behalf, and the spiritual awakening that is taking place here in Israel. Continue to pray that the Holy Spirit would move in a powerful, profound way as the word of God is fulfilled here in this land in Israel.
Tony, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Well, thank you specifically for that direct avenue for us to be praying. And we have, of course, our viewers, our listeners all over the country right now. You've heard some very specific ways that we can pray. And I want to encourage every single one of you today to take time to take these words that we've heard from Tony and specifically pray for the Prime Minister, for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem, for wisdom, for spiritual awakening. Let's be very specific as we pray. Tony, I know you've got a lot to do. Again, I want to thank you for joining us. You've got a busy schedule. Merry, Merry Christmas to you and Luana and the family. Safe travels home. Look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, Jody, Merry Christmas to you as well, and Merry Christmas to all of our Washington Watch viewers and listeners.
Great. Thank you so much.
Well, that was my interview last week with Tony, who joined me from Jerusalem. And after the break, I'll be joined by another guest from Jerusalem, CBN Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
During these challenging times for our nation, Family Research Council continues to serve as a watchman on the wall for faith, family, and freedom. And together, thanks to your support, we're making an eternal impact. 2024 has been another year of shining the light for biblical truth in Washington, D.C. This fall, over 1,000 spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives gathered for the Pray Vote Stand Summit to pray for our nation and ensure that the issues impacting Sage Cons were understood and advanced. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins marked a major milestone this year, its 900th episode, and added the Washington Watch News Desk, a new production that presents the top news each day from a biblical worldview. The Washington Stand published 2,000 articles of news, commentary, and podcasts in 2024, garnering over 5 million views. FRC's outlet for news and commentary continues to pursue the truth on the issues that matter most to you and your family. And with the launch of the Stand Firm app, you can listen to, watch, and read our content in one simple place. Pray for current issues, stay rooted in the scriptures, and engage the political sphere with a community of believers on our new platform. In 2024, FRC shaped public policy and culture, organizing the National Gathering for Prayer and Repentance, where members of Congress and Christian leaders came together to seek God's intervention in America. In May, FRC called upon believers to pray for and stand with Israel by dedicating a portion of their worship services to pray for Israel's peace, prosperity, and protection. With Pray Vote Stand Decision 2024, FRC and Real Life Network led a powerful evening of election night coverage to analyze the election results and pray that our nation would turn back to God. We also filmed a transformative educational course, God and Government. Launching in January 2025, this series will explore the biblical and historical foundations of our government, empowering you to stand confidently in your role as a citizen of heaven and earth. Family Research Council thanks you for partnering with us for another year of standing for faith, family, and freedom.
Looking to grow closer to God in the new year? FRC's Stand on the Word spiral-bound journal is here to help. Dive deeper into Scripture with thought-provoking questions, note-taking space, and context for each book and author. This second edition, covering Isaiah 2 Revelation, will guide you in tracking your journey through God's Word while deepening your faith in Christ. Order now at frc.org/store or text journal to 67742. Perfect for you and your loved ones.
Well, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I am Jody Heiss filling in today for Tony. So glad to have you. And of course, Christmas was very different last year in the Holy Land following the vicious attacks by Hamas against Israel on October 7th. And today is more than 14 months of the war. And how is the mood now in Israel this Advent season? And what's life been like for the Israeli citizens during these challenging times? Well, joining me now to discuss this is Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News and dear friend of Washington Watch, Chris Mitchell. Chris, welcome back to the program. Always an honor to have you.
It's great to be with you, Jody, and Merry Christmas from the Holy Land.
Well, thank you. I can't think of a better place for Merry Christmas wishes to be coming from, and I appreciate that a great deal. Merry Christmas to you as well. Well, we are pre-taping this, so there may have been some additional developments between now and Christmas Eve, but let's just start, if you can, Chris, with giving us the latest in terms of the current situation there in Israel.
Well, Jody, the current situation has changed so dramatically in just the last few weeks with the fall of the Assad regime in Syria, the takeover by many rebel groups within just about 2 weeks or less than that. Just remarkable changes. And the changes just keep coming, Jody, you know, whether it was the degrading of Hamas in the Gaza Strip or the way that Hezbollah really disintegrated for the last 3 or 4 months. Just these changes have been remarkable, historic changes, biblical changes, it seems. And it's really hard to keep up sometimes. But we know that the Middle East is developing, shaking, moving in just dramatic and powerful ways. A reminder to be keeping praying for the peace of Jerusalem and all the peoples here in the lands.
Absolutely. And yeah, the change is unbelievable. And we're all just deeply grateful for you've just been a special and powerful voice in keeping us up to speed as to what's happening. Just in terms of Christmas, Chris, I'm just curious. You've been there in Israel for quite a while now. How has this Advent season been compared to last year and even the years before October 7th?
Well, you mentioned 14 months and counting. I would say that many of the people here in Israel are weary of the war. It's very, very difficult to continue what's going on, and it's almost affected every single Israeli and person here in the land, whether it's a son or daughter, a cousin, brother that's in combat and has been fighting, whether in Gaza or up in the north against Hezbollah. But I also say that there is just a remarkable resilience of the Israeli people here. And so this Advent season, obviously, it's the Christians here in the land that are marking the birth of Jesus Christ. I would say it's, you know, for many people, regardless of whatever your faith is, a very, very hard time to go through, a very wearying time. But, you know, as believers in Jesus, we have the hope and that we can look to and remember the birth of Jesus, which is actually just about 5 miles behind me where I'm standing right now, Jody. So at 2,000 years ago, that's where the angels said the good news of glad tidings, for unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Amen. And when we're talking about so many changes taking place around the world, and specifically now in Israel, the entire world changed 2,000 years ago, and thank God it continues to this day through His grace and mercy. And so thank you for that reminder. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not just Christians there locally. I'm curious your take on Christians in Syria and elsewhere in the Middle East. Of course, with the fall of the brutal Assad regime, I'm curious how things have changed and what's the situation like for other Christians in Syria and other places.
That's a very, very important issue, Jody, and I think people, Christians around the world, in the United States in particular, I think need to be aware of what's happening to our brothers and sisters inside Syria. Now, they lived under the Assad regime. It wasn't the best of circumstances by far, but what's happened right now is that the groups that have taken over, which one is called HTS, the other's SNA, but both jihadi groups sponsored and backed by Turkey, and they want to implement Sharia law inside Syria. Now, what that means for Christians is that they would basically be second-class citizens, and there could be varying degrees of what Sharia law looks like, but it would be a restriction of their faith, their livelihood. Perhaps they might have to pay what's called the jizya tax for non-Muslims. So it's a very, very important time to be praying for our brothers and sisters, and also a time to be talking to leaders who have influence and policymakers. People that I've talked to, Jody, that we've been reporting on, are saying a lot of this comes from President Erdogan in Turkey, and they hope and pray that he could be stopped. Now, I'll explain just a little bit what's happening in the western part of Syria that's really been taken over by HTS. The eastern part is under threat as well. In northeast Syria, over the last number of years, has been an autonomous region where they have set up a democratic form of government where Christians, Yazidis, Kurds, and Arabs all working together. Now, that is under threat by this group called SNA. And that as well, people need to pray that they could be restrained so that this really beacon of hope and freedom and democracy in the Middle East could be preserved from these Turkish-backed groups.
Well, Chris, I do want to keep you, if you can, and over the break and come back and continue this discussion. But it's not just the believers there that are going to experience massive changes. In fact, I understand many of them have already fled. But what are some of the implications of a new Syrian government for Israel, as well as the rest of the Middle East, but Israel in particular?
Well, it really poses a threat to them, and that's why, in fact, even today, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is a geographical barrier between Lebanon, Syria, and Israel. And now Israel, because of all this chaos in the last few months, has taken over the strategic Syrian part of Mount Hermon, as well as a buffer zone between this new HTS jihadi group that wants to implement Sharia law in Israel. So long term, it does represent a possible very serious threat to Israel. They have stated they want to come here and take over Jerusalem. So that's where their goals are eventually. In the meantime, Israel has been destroying as much as 80% or more of the Bashar al-Assad military infrastructure. They started right when the rebels took over, and they have continued to do so that these strategic weapons don't fall into the hands of this jihadist group.
Well, keep that thought. We'll come back after the break. We're going to continue our conversation with Chris Mitchell. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment.
So if you like to think and you like to pray, FRC is the place for you.
I think it is the best program out there.
Yeah, I've absolutely loved my experience interning at FRC.
They really are making waves out in the political world and doing it from the light of the Lord.
It's really humbling for me as a college student who has been involved in the LIFE movement for only a couple of years to be able to witness it alongside of some of the people who have spent their entire lives fighting.
A huge thing that sets FRC's internship apart from others is they are looking for what they can pour into you instead of what they can get out of you.
I have talked to so many of my friends who have interned other places and they're responding to emails or taking phone calls and doing things like that, but here we get real hands-on experience and get to talk to important people and do important things that we get to see the impact of.
The throne of Jesus Christ is unchallenged. His name was never on the ballot to begin with, and it's never going to be on the ballot. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and nothing's going to change that. And so our mission stays the same. Preach the gospel, make disciples, get ready for heaven. In the meantime, that we're to advance the concerns of the kingdom of God here on earth.
America has entered a critical and vulnerable period from now until January the 20th. Join Family Research Council for Operation Prayer Shield, a 10-week prayer initiative for our nation. From now until January 20th, our country faces global challenges, a transition of leadership, and a lame duck session of Congress. This season calls for heightened spiritual vigilance, discernment, and prayer. Text the word SHIELD to 67742 to join us. You'll have access to prayer points, scripture, prayer calls. Text SHIELD to 67742. Unite with us and pray for our nation.
Merry Christmas. Again, thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss, filling in today for Tony. And we're continuing now our discussion with Chris Mitchell. He's the Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News. He is joining us from Jerusalem. Chris, thanks again for staying with us over the break. We appreciate it.
Sure. Great to be with you, Jody.
All right. So, Iran, let's talk about them. For a long time, they've been a threat to Israel. How has the war affected them right now? It looks like it's been pretty significant.
Jody, who would have known after October 7th, Hamas, a group funded and helped by Iran, and Hezbollah, funded and helped by Iran as well. Both of these groups have basically been decimated, and Iran itself is under threat. For the reason for that is right now, on October 26th, Israel launched an attack against Iran's facilities, and they hit much of their air defenses. In addition to that, Israel has already hit out most of the air defenses inside Syria. So it seems like there's a window of opportunity and almost a safe path for any Israeli action against Iran's nuclear facilities. We don't know if that might happen in this window between where we're talking now and January 20th, when President Trump is inaugurated. But it does seem like an opportune time for Israel to go ahead and destroy what has been the existential threat hanging over the Jewish state for decades, which is Iran's nuclear facilities and the potential to have a nuclear arsenal.
Yeah, that has long been a major threat. And I agree. I mean, it looks like if there's ever a time to do so, it would be now. And then we have on this side over here, President-elect Trump. Of course, he has promised to be the most pro-Israel president in history. And at least from my estimation, he certainly was, or at least one of the top in his first term. It was an honor of a lifetime for me personally to be there when the embassy moved to Jerusalem, and that was all President Trump pushing that. So what do you think Israel is hoping for with the new Trump administration, be it the first 100 days or beyond? What are they looking to see?
Well, I would think right now, Jody, I think the first thing would be to help Israel either allow Israel, give them the green light to go ahead and attack Iran's nuclear facilities, or actually help Israel, and that the U.S. would cooperate with them to go ahead and destroy that. Now, that could lead, possibly, and I think that's what maybe the mullahs are concerned about right now in Tehran, to an overthrow of the Iranian regime. Because as we have talked before, many of the people, probably 80-90% of Iranians, despise the regime, and they would love to see it overthrown after more than decades of oppression against the public. So I think that's one thing. The other thing, Jody, is that they want to see working together. Over the last 14 months since October 7th, many Israelis have felt that the Biden administration really was an obstacle to Israel's war against Hamas, and really a seven-front war, and also trying to undermine the Netanyahu government. So I think there's going to be a huge change come January 20th. We've already seen it right now, just in the last day or two. Benjamin Netanyahu and President Trump have also had a conversation, which Trump described as a very good conversation. And he's looking forward to, a good situation in the Middle East, possibly an expansion of the Abraham Accords, and then possibly, you know, eliminating Iran as an existential threat to the Jewish people.
Well, that's everything you say there resonates. And, you know, you have two very, very strong leaders between Netanyahu and Trump, and they're on the same page. So I can only imagine the sense of fear and trembling from those enemies of Israel in the neighborhood there. They've got to understand that the clock is ticking, it would seem, for their continued control and harassment and intimidation. Now, we're all thinking as we wrap up, Chris, here at Christmas time, we're thinking and praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East, for Israel as a whole. What would you say to Americans here? How can we be praying for them as we celebrate Christmas?
Pray for their protection. Pray that there'd be godly policy that would really push back the forces of darkness, whether that's Turkish-backed militias or the mullahs in Tehran, that would protect the Jewish people. They're remarkably resilient after 14, 15 months of being at war. But pray for comfort. It says in Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort ye people. And also, you know, Psalm 126, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Isaiah 62, that says, he has put watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, to give him no praise till he makes Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. And that ultimate praise will come, Jody, when our Savior comes back here to Jerusalem to rule and reign. And many people here in the Middle East would say, come, Lord Jesus.
And we would join that. And he is indeed coming. And real quickly, Chris, how about you, your family, your team, CBN? How can we be praying for you?
Well, pray for protection. Pray for anointing. Pray that God would give us the wisdom of all the stories he wants us to report. We feel like maybe we're watchmen on the walls, and that we can report what's happening, whether it's Washington Watch or our program Jerusalem Dateline, what's happening here, so people could be informed, educated, and so people can pray.
Well, we cannot fully express to you the deep gratitude and appreciation that we have for your faithful witness, your faithful presence there in the Middle East, and your coming on, keeping us informed. God bless you, Chris Mitchell, all of you at CBN, our brothers and sisters in the Lord there in the Middle East and Israel as a whole. Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for joining us.
Merry Christmas, Jody. And I just want to say we have a great team here in our bureau. They're doing a great job.
All right, friends. After the break, Pastor Jay Johnson will be joining us. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. Behind me is one of the most recognizable buildings in all the world, the U.S. Capitol. What does it stand for? Well, most people say government. But you know the Bible talks about four institutions of government? You know what they are? And do we have a republic or a democracy? Well, what do you say? Also, what about this thing, separation of church and state? Does that mean Christians shouldn't be involved in government? Guess what? we address those issues and more in our new God and Government course. I invite you to join us to see what the historical record and the Bible has to say about government. Join us for God and Government.
Be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't lose the faith. Stand now strong, because the Lord has given us the great privilege of living in a time when our choices matter, when our lives matter, when our courage matters. So let's stand together and save this great country. God bless the United States of America.
The American Republic has a freedom like no other. It has roots in the scriptures far more than any other heritage. And if we as followers of Jesus and conservatives don't defend it, who will?
Neutrality is not an option. There are many Christians who believe that if we just keep our heads down, if we just don't say the wrong thing, that somehow we will come out of this unscathed. You're naive if you think that. Because what they want from us is not our silence. What they want from us is our submission.
Part of the dilemma of Christianity in our generation is that we've relied a little too much on human wisdom and human reasoning, human strength, human resource, and we've relied too little on the power of God and God's ability to open doors that we can't open and do things that we couldn't even hope to begin to do.
This may not be an easy task, but we are living in a moment of challenge, but also of great opportunity. And we know always that we are not alone, that His Spirit empowers us and protects us, and that He can do the unimaginable. Dobbs, after all, was never supposed to happen.
Father, we thank You. You have entrusted us with this moment in history, and I pray that we would be found faithful, and that as a result of our faithfulness to You, that thousands, millions would come into the kingdom as they would experience the forgiveness of sin and the new life that is found only in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Merry Christmas. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss, filling in today for Tony, and so honored to have you joining us as well. All right, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, I hope you'll join Family Research Council in shining the light of biblical truth right here in Washington, D.C., and across the nation. This Christmas season, every dollar you give will be doubled. Yes, it will be doubled. That's through a generous limited-time challenge match. And all of that is helping us to defend faith, family, and freedom in this coming year. And so together, as we all join forces together, we can stand for biblical values and proclaim the only true source of hope for America, and that is Jesus Christ. So if you'd like to join us and give, you can do so by texting the word LIGHT to 67742. And together, we can shine the light of truth this Christmas and beyond. And speaking of Christmas, 3 out of 4 Americans agree that people have forgotten the real meaning of Christmas. Perhaps that's why this clip from a Charlie Brown Christmas shared by Family Research Council on social media, it's attracted millions of people.
I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Amen to that. Wow, literally, we've had millions of people download that and watch it over the last couple of weeks. And, I mean, look, we all recognize you would be hard-pressed to find such a clear presentation of what Christmas is really all about on the big TV networks today. But whether they air it or not, it's a message that is desperately needed, perhaps more so now than ever. And here to discuss why is Dr. Jay Johnson. He's a National Prayer Director and Chaplain here at FRC. Pastor Jay, welcome back to the program. Always great to have you, my friend.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Merry Christmas, Jay. I love that clip. I remember as a child watching that. In fact, our whole family used to watch Charlie Brown Christmas every single year, and there was utter silence when it came to that part every single year. What do you take of the viral nature, literally, of that video clip? It's still loved across America.
Yeah, one, it probably brings those that are older great memories, but I think it's also a great reminder of people seeking truth and hope. And that clip just encourages people. It's one of those clips that, you know, you feel great about it, you know, and so it's an exciting clip. And I think that's just, it demonstrates, again, also the hunger I believe people have right now for truth, for something bigger than them.
Absolutely. I think you and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with how the Bible now has jumped in sales some 22%. People are, as you just said, looking for truth. And they are, fortunately, many of them going back to God's Word to find that truth. Don't you think that perhaps the Christmas season, and particularly the season that we're having now, with all the issues we're facing in our country and around the world, that somehow this uniquely opens the doors, opportunities for further Bible study, for actual discipleship and connecting people to the truth of God's Word in a special way?
I really do, Jody. I just really sense there is just a tremendous hunger of people. And I think with all of the things happening in the world, things that are happening in the U.S., you know, there's heartache, unfortunately, almost on every corner, but there's also hope at every corner as well. And I think those of us who know Christ can point people at those corners to the hope that they can find in Christ in the midst of despair. And so I do believe that people are just longing right now for something bigger than themselves. And the time's right. With everything that's happening, right now is the time to get people engaged in Bible study, you know, in prayer groups. And, you know, it's just that great time. I've mentioned in the past to you and to others, and it just happened last week. I walked in a couple of places there in D.C., and there were people just sitting at tables opening with their Bibles open. And I was just so encouraged. These are public places. And whether it's in your home or in a public place, in your church, connect group, whatever may be, right now is just a great time to open God's Word. And I do want to just take a moment here. On Christmas Day, a great opportunity to not only join Family Research Council in Stand on the Word Bible study moving into 2025, but on Christmas Day, you may not have been on the journey with us, but I would just encourage you, open your Bible with your family to Luke chapter 2. Read the verses beginning in verse 1. Before you do anything else with your family, and let the Word of God speak. Let the hope that is in Christ. Christ is the one who reigns on the throne today. But you're going to read about his birth account. And there's so much hope there, so much encouragement. And that's the way you can begin with your family. Start on Christmas Day, and then every day after, maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's the several verses or chapter, even with Stand on the Word. but I just encourage you to start. And Christmas Day is a great time by opening your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Now, that's not the place where we are with Stand on the Word for that particular day, but it's a great place to start if you've not been on the journey.
Great, great word. And I'm really glad you brought up hope. We are living at a time in history that so many people seem to have lost hope. There's so much turmoil, so much brokenness, so much anxiety and uncertainty in our world, in our country. And for you, someone with such a pastor's heart that you have, and I love praying with you. I love hearing you pray. I love being with you when you pray, Pastor Jay. But you pour your heart out for our country and for believers around the world. But during this time of hope, what is the prayer? What is the heart prayer for our country and our world during this time of turmoil?
I think it's really, it's a simple prayer, and it's an humble prayer. And simply, God, I need you. I need you in my life more than I need anything else. And I would just encourage people who are longing for hope. Earlier today, I was praying with a family that reached out to us here at FRC and just heartbreaking over what they're dealing with. But I just encourage them to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what I would encourage all who are watching or listening. Just simply cry out to the Lord. Say, God, I need you more than anything else in my life. And just begin establishing that relationship with God every single day of your life.
Great word. And, you know, I think this also, the conversation is ripe to call on that same thing for churches. With so many people experiencing conflicts, inner turmoil, so many things are raging within the hearts of so many people. And this is a great opportunity also for the church to respond, for Christians to respond to their neighbors. What would you say to the body of Christ as we enter into a new year?
Yeah, I would just say to the pastors that are listening, just know that there's people praying for you. I love the local church, and I love being a part of the local church. And I am a pastor. I have a pastor's heart. I love pastors. And I would just say, too, don't grow weary in the midst of well-doing, but let people share ministry with you. Get involved. Get them involved with you. And now is the best time for the church to arise and to reach the community for Christ. One person at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one city at a time. Just get out there and begin sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I would just encourage you too, Pastor, and Bible study leaders, get involved in Bible study, daily Bible study. Don't let it be a Sunday and the next Sunday, daily in that. And again, I'm going to just mention Stand on the Word, which is a good opportunity for people to engage in the Bible and to study. But there's others out there. So whatever works best for you, but I would just encourage you to do this. Read the Bible. Think about what you just read. Pray it. Start living it and get out and share it. Because as you do that, the word of the Lord is going to come alive. The church is going to come alive. And right now is the best opportunity for those of us who are followers of Christ to get out and tell a world that is desperately looking for hope, looking for something that we can tell them about the one who's come for all mankind and who Amen. Loves us dearly.
Great word. And what you're talking about there, Pastor Jay, is life. Life is found yes. in Christ. And let me just say, if those who are listening and watching right now are not familiar with or are not part of the Stand on the Word Bible study that we have each day, they can get it. Simply go into the App Store or text the word app, APP, text APP to 67742 and join us. Great time to join us in the new year. Pastor Jay, let me ask you this, because we've had this conversation before, and I love your take on it. When we talk about the pro-life movement, of course, there's been a lot this past year on that. No doubt there's going to be continued battles in the years to come. But our battle for life is not just for life in the womb. We're battling for life at every stage. And many of us need to open our eyes a little bit wider to that reality. Explain your heart on that issue.
Yeah, I long stand for life and value the very life in the womb and grateful for every mom that carries that baby. But I also know there's a fight. There's a fight for life when that baby's born and not everything's right. I've been in the NICU units. I've been in the pediatric care units when a family's surrounding. But there's also the fight for the mom that got pregnant without a partner, and now that child's 3, 5, 7, 10, 15. Are we as the church ready to walk with that mom through all of that child's life? Are we ready to value the end of life, not to see the growth of assisted suicide, but to walk with people wherever they are in life and to value them just as God values us? He loves us dearly. And we are in a battle here in America for all of life. There's too many shootings on the street. There's too much bullying in the school. There's too much fragmentation in the home. There's too much bickering in the church house. We all need to just come together and begin recognizing that we all have a purpose, and God has a plan and a purpose for us, and that we can value life and fight for every life, whatever the circumstances are. We just need to get in there and begin walking with people wherever they are, whatever they're facing, day in and day out. It's not easy. It's dirty. It's hard. It's not contained to one place. But I can tell you this, walking with people is the best opportunity we have to demonstrate the love of Christ. And so I just encourage folks as well. There's so much in my heart about this. I'm just not fully where to go with it all, Jody. But I just know that we got to get people around just looking at every life and knowing that we can't see the life taken on a street by a gunshot or somebody just running somebody over in a vehicle is just that all the lives matter. The little guy out on a soccer field that may not be the most talented, his life matters. We can encourage him on. At every place, there's a place for us to plug into life. And so I just encourage people to join in wherever that is and just show love to one another. Let's start right there.
Great, great word. Thank you, Dr. J. Johnson, deeply appreciate you, a national prayer director and chaplain here at the Family Research Council. Merry Christmas to you, your dear family, and we look forward to working with you, sharing the light of Christ in 2025. Friends, that wraps up this edition of Washington Watch. Merry, Merry Christmas to each of you. God bless you.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.